It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
An Amazon smart speaker in your home or office?
What's all that about?
Just say, Alexa, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay.
And listen to Boston's home for sports. You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Smart triggers the inbound. Inside for the Kyrie. Kyrie from the corner. Fall away. Tough three. No good. Rebound Horford. One more chance. Out to Hayward for the tie. Rims out and the ball game is over.
Wow. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we are delighted to be joined by the Celtics president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge. Almost all Thursdays during the basketball season, Mr. Danny Ainge. Always a pleasure, sir.
Good morning, Fred, Rich, John. How are we doing today?
We are doing well, and you are a man who knows to call another man by the first name and to establish that, you know, this is going to be a nice conversation.
Yeah, I like you guys.
Oh, there you go.
Best buddy.
That's a promo right there.
Make a commercial out of that. Make a commercial, please.
That's right.
We know we're in. So have you been staying up late watching these games, these World Series games, Danny?
Of course. I went to the game. I went to game one, and I watched last night's game on TV.
There's been some comparisons, and maybe it's just because of their age, between Alex Cora and Brad Stevens, and maybe also based on some of the non-traditional ways that both of them lead their team. Do you see any of that when you watch Alex Cora and how he manages the Red Sox?
You know, it's hard to know. I don't follow the team on a day-to-day basis enough to know all the ins and outs of what he does. So, like, the pinch hitter the other night seemed a little unorthodox, but I think Alex knows the team as well as anybody, but what a great job they've done this year. It's been fun to see their success.
So you guys brought in Bob Cousy to talk to the team. I read, I think it was on Tuesday, over at the Arbach Center, and how many of the guys knew who Bob Cousy was when they brought him in?
That's a good question.
I think all of them knew who Bob Cousy was. I don't know if none of them had ever met Bob, but I do think that they all had heard of Bob Cousy sometime in their life.
How old is he now? Is he 90?
90, yeah.
Wow. Okay, so what does a 90-year-old basketball legend tell these 20-something basketball players that makes sense to them, because the game has changed so much? Like, what kind of message could he tell them that is that still stands today, or what did he talk to them about?
I think he touched on just, being a team. He talked a little bit about the early Celtics days when they weren't very good, and, before Russell got there. But he talked about how they had a good, deep team and some of the things that we're going through today, and guys accepting roles, and everybody has to make sacrifices to win, and just things like that. He had some fun stories as well. He's still very with it all the way mentally.
Did he compare tattoos with Marcus Morris?
No, he did not.
He doesn't have some.
He told a funny story. By the way, his new book is out, and it's pretty good. I just started reading it, the first four or five chapters, but it's a good book. But he told the players a story where Chuck Cooper, the first black player drafted by the Celtics, couldn't get into the restroom. They had signs that said blacks this way and whites this way, and they had a nice bonding experience. Instead of going to the restrooms, they just went and peed off the edge of the platform of the restaurant. a bonding moment.
That's right.
Who hasn't bonded in that kind? All of us have done that at one time or another.
I think that's a rite of passage.
Yeah. The old lightsaber fight. We all know that. All right, so there is a report that came out. Now, everyone's been excited, and everyone was excited when Kyrie Irving unexpectedly announced that he wants to stay with the team at that fan fest before the season started. But Brian Windhorst, that ne'er-do-well, wrote something for ESPN, I think it was yesterday that it came out, that said that essentially this might not be a done deal. Now, obviously, until things are written in ink and a contract is signed, you can't officially call anything a done deal. But what he is saying is that GMs around the NBA still think that he is going to be available on the free market, and that many people have his name slapped with an unrestricted free agent tag and are still willing to go try to get him after this season is done. What do you think of that report, and just what kind of commitment have you two made to each other?
Well, you know, it's funny that you interpret it that way. I interpreted that report as, yeah, we think he's going to Boston, but like it's not done. It's not a done deal yet, and it can't be a done deal until. And it's possible that something could happen. I don't think that they're, but I think everybody knows that Kyrie is the most likely scenario is that he finishes up in Boston, and that he comes back here, and I think that we all think that. But yes, he's right in the fact that we can't officially stamp it until July.
If he is Kyrie Irving and ends up being the Kyrie Irving we all know and love, and his game is at the level that it's been for years now, are you going to commit to him and give him that extension?
Yeah, like, listen, we want Kyrie. Kyrie wants us. We want a long-term relationship. And but we can't really do anything. We can't talk about and negotiate any numbers. We can't negotiate any contract and length of contract and all that stuff until July. So, I mean, that's all we can say about it. But, yeah, I mean, every team in the league likes Kyrie and wants Kyrie. So, of course, that we want him. And, you know, it was a surprise to all of us that he came out and publicly said, you know, like, I want to stay in Boston. Like, this is where I've thought about it. I've looked at all the scenarios and situations, and this is where I want to be.
But the Celtics organization is ready to accept that he is going to want a max deal, correct?
We can't talk anything about numbers. You guys are trying to trap me again.
No, it's just one of us is trying to do that.
It's not even trap. It's just
they brought in hamburgers. That's right. Honest to God, I've been quiet the whole time, Dan. Yeah, Danny, they brought in hamburgers, and so I've been seeing what's doing. But they're all cheeseburgers, which sucks. So that would be Rich you want to talk to.
Yeah, Shifty certainly.
Actually, he's calling you out. Yes, that's exactly what this is.
But it made me nervous. That's the thing. This report made me a little nervous, to be quite honest, Danny.
No, listen. I actually read that report, and I think it's just common sense. I think he's just saying, yeah, you know, it's not off the board yet. You never know what happens. I get what Brian is writing in that report, but yeah, it's like, you know, in Dumb and Dumber, you're saying there's a chance.
Okay. It's a great reference. Danny, you guys have split your first four games. Again, we had discussed last week about how it would take some time for everything to gel. Brad Stevens said after the loss the last time out that he hadn't seen the offense look better. You guys had a lot of open shots against Orlando. You just didn't knock them down. How do you see the offense at this point?
Yeah, I mean, we're not making shots, and that's what it's all about. But I think what Brad's referring to is, you know, just the movement of the ball, the unselfish play, everyone playing for each other. I think that was a big improvement from our four exhibition games and from our three prior games. So, you know, but ultimately it comes down to making those shots. And I'm not really that worried about our offense. I'm still more worried about our defense, and our defense is the second-rated defense in the league up to this point. But, I think that we're going to be better. I'm not that worried about it. You know, we have a tough game tonight against Oklahoma City, who's hungry for a win. And I mean, we could play well and not win in a game like that on the road. So like we have to get a lot better. And I think everybody knows it. Our practices have been spirited, and I'm confident that we will get a lot better.
Now, offense was a bit of a problem at the end of last year as well. At what point, how many games in do you go from being, all right, the shots won't fall, to this is a problem?
I don't know, but a lot. Just because, we have good shooters and good scorers, guys that are, you know, in the primes of their careers that have done it for a long time. So I'm not worried about that aspect. I mean, every team, even a lot of teams are going through offensive struggles, and then there's a lot of scores out there. I'm seeing 140 and to 145, but there's not a lot of defense being played. It's a much shorter exhibition season for everybody in the league. It's sort of a new thing for the league, and I think that there are teams that are very good out there that aren't playing up to their capabilities, and right now we're one of those teams that are underachieving so far.
Dan,
you never participate,
so I figured I was next.
That's not true. Danny's the one who always agrees with me. He agreed with me about Mookie Betts' catch, and he agreed with me about Jason Tatum.
We'll go right ahead.
All right, Danny, speaking of guys getting seasoned and getting enough, what is your feeling on getting rid of the one and done rule?
I don't know. I think that what it's going to do, originally when we had all the high school players coming out, and it was usually one or two a year, but you did have to spend time in my job in high school gyms watching. And so I think that was unbecoming when David Stern was commissioner and said, you know, like, we shouldn't be hanging out in the high school gyms. And so they did the one and done and prohibited us from being in the high school gyms, NBA people. And so now it's a little bit different culture in that a lot of kids think that they're one and done or think that they're, you know, capable of coming to the NBA out of high school. And so it's a younger age. I don't think it's better for the NBA. I don't think it's better for college basketball, although a lot of college basketball coaches would disagree with me.
Right.
Because they just, I've seen the Kevin Durants, and like they did great things for college basketball. And Kevin was like a one and done, and he was, and Greg Oden and Mike Conley, those guys were great for college basketball. But I do understand the downside also. And Duke, they won like a national championship with 3 one-and-dones a few years back. So I think that I like the one-and-done a little better than the high school, but it's not that much different. And, you know, we have to be prepared to draft kids at 18 now instead of 19, and there's going to be more mistakes made as a result of that. But it is what it is.
You've obviously had conversations with kids coming out and trying to come out early. Do you ever have conversations where you suggest to them to stay in school a little bit longer?
I have, yeah. There's an opportunity to have those conversations on occasion. The ones that reach out for that counsel and advice, but we've drafted high school kids. We've drafted Gerald Green and Al Jefferson and Kendrick Perkins. And, we'll continue to look at all those guys. And those guys, you know, have all turned out well and had nice careers and long-lasting careers in the NBA. So, we'll be prepared to draft the best players and the best potential available.
All right. Well, Danny Ainge, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for your kind words at the beginning of this interview. You're a man with a great taste. We appreciate your time as always and look forward to talking to you next week.
Okay, so one question. So now they go to the Red Sox are going to the Dodgers for 3 games. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, that is correct.
Tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday.
All right. and we feel like we can close it out in L.A.?
Yes.
Yes. I would find it very strange if they didn't. Hey, Danny, there's this Rick Honeycutt. He is the pitching coach for the Dodgers, and he was complaining that the bullpen was too close to the stands and that his pitchers were getting heckled. As a professional athlete, do you find any credence in that?
Oh my gosh! I mean, like that's part of life on the road in the NBA. The fans are right there by the court. So yeah, heckling is part of it. I mean, there's times when heckling can get over the top, but sure. Heckling is part of the deal on the road in professional sports.
Now, some people don't know this, but Danny played professional baseball. What do you think about the length of games now? Does that frustrate you a little bit as a fan now when you're watching?
You know, I was trying to figure out what was taking so long. Like, it was interesting. I sat at the game in game one, and it was approximately 4 hours. But I was sitting through the first part of the game, and I'm going like, oh my gosh, it's only the third inning right now? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't really pinpoint it. I was trying to think about, because I know that there's been a lot of discussion, but I couldn't see or understand why the game was taking so long. But yeah, the game is a long time, and in person, there at Fenway Park, it was a blast. Even though the weather was cold, it was fun. It was a wonderful atmosphere. But on television, I do find that it gets long.
I feel the exact same way. Baseball, I love going to see baseball live, but on television, it's very difficult to stay focused through a whole game. I do agree with you with that. Because the atmosphere of a baseball park is fantastic, but yeah.
Unless you're warming up in the bullpen, then you're just getting a bunch of ne'er-do-wells thrown at you.
Well, right. If you have seats by the bullpen, your seats aren't very good, so I could imagine.
You got nothing else to do. You can't see home plate.
You got nothing else to do. All right, Danny, thank you so much for the time again, and look forward to talking to you.
All right, guys.
All right, see you later.
All right, appreciate it.